Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Morning, my name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Welcome back, my minions, to the number one internet radio sports talk show in the world, along with our other affiliates as well. And we welcome back this week, and I know you guys will probably be hearing this a little bit later on past the live time, but we welcome you back anyway, our friends up at WROM up in the Detroit market. So glad that you guys are back with us. Been a long haul. But it's good to have you guys back. And I tell you what, we've got a great show planned for you today. We've got, as always, right here on the Balance Radio Network, we have, well, the best in sports talk, period, because, you know, El Presidente here, myself, Tom Marquis, always brings the best, always brings his A face, his game face. Well, this week is no different. Coming up here in just a few moments, guys, you know what? We got rained out. We had a great time with the guys, Pete and Cliff, and Radio Speed Talk out at Lucas Oil Raceway this past weekend. Unfortunately, we did get a lot of great interviews. That is good. Well, the unfortunate part is that rain and Mother Nature just would not let the event happen, so they moved it back. So, yes, NHRA is back again. This weekend, so hopefully we can get everything in as well. And guys, we've got a great big golf tournament going on here in Indianapolis as well. The BMW Championship, well, it's been going on all week. And I tell you what, my office is up in Carmel, and it has been a traffic nightmare. I wish I had had the opportunity to get up there and you know, get some sound bites from Tiger Woods and stuff. But, you know, it just didn't work out this time around, but we have been covering it. One thing I do want to point out to you, though, that if you're headed up there to the BMW Championship at Carmel to see Tiger Woods and all some of the greatest golfers in the world, tee times for the third round of the BMW Championship on Saturday, which is today, have been moved back. And the parking locations have changed. So make sure you check it out, BMWChampionshipUSA.com. As well, guys, guess what? It is the start of NFL. Woohoo! Raise the roof, the Colts, the Bears. Well, and then whatever your favorite team is, we're going to break down the Colts and the Bears. And around the league, obviously, as you know, every week we talk about a particular game and break down around the league. And this week around the league will feature the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cleveland Browns. And we're going to be talking with Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. Going to be calling in and talking with us about, well, Michael Vick and the Philadelphia Eagles. And then not to fear, guys, we have Jeff Kurtz, who's going to be joining us from Bear Claws, and going to be talking with us and breaking down that Chicago Bear-Indianapolis Colts game. That's right, number 12, Andrew Luck, is making his debut. So, and then plus the fantasy football huddle. And coming up here at 9:30 as well, we're going to have Jimmy, the intern, Kavanaugh, on the air with us. We're going to break down all the college football action. We've got a great new segment that we're starting this week. I cannot wait to play this for you. We have a segment called Elizabeth the Greek. And those of you that know our racing analyst, Pete LaFuchsia, Tornado Pete, it's actually his daughter, and it's a great segment that he sent us. So we're going to start featuring that every week. But we will be right back, guys, because we're going to get right into some real race talk with Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk, and we're going to be breaking down, of course, again, the NHRA, NASCAR, IndyCar, and all the things that go fast right here on the Balance Radio Network. Guys, I want to tell you what, if you blink, you're going to miss a whole heck of a lot on today's show. It's just that good. It always is right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name is Tom Mark with El Presidente. We'll be right back with Cliff Tanner from Radio Speed Talk.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
This week on Speed Talk, we recap our rainy adventure down to the U.S. Nationals in Indianapolis. We talk to Nationwide driver Joanna Long, and we interview NHRA funny car driver Jack Beckman.
And here I am. I got two beautiful children now. I get paid to drive a race car. I get to hang out with you two in the rain. Life's pretty good.
Aw, we're humbled.
Well, you've never been humbled, Pete. Let's be honest.
Here we go again. The best hits. Best hits.
I demand more.
And the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it. I need it. And I'm going to have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, RealmsOfMusic.com, playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance and on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Mark. It's so good to have you on a Saturday morning, and also our new hombre, Kimo Sabe, a partner in crime at the racetrack, Mr. Cliff Tanner from Radio Speed Talk. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. Silly season's upon us. It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy. Now, are you going to make it back down here to Indianapolis this week?
Unfortunately, I can't. I was going to try and possibly make it tomorrow. So I still might. I'm trying to make things arranged so that I can get back down there. I'm glad I didn't come down today because they've already pushed back qualifying and everything because of the rain. So,
yeah, you would have had time to get it in the show, get the show in and everything else, because I think they've actually moved it back to 11 o'clock, what I saw here on in the local market. Well, what a great time it was to hang out with you and Pete and the guys from Radio Speed Talk last week. Had a great time, talking with Courtney Force, obviously her father, John Force, and what a great legend that he was as well. But here on this show, we had Courtney Force, and of course, she won the Traxxas Lotto, and I tell you what, there was a lot that was going on. Obviously, it's the big go, as they call it there, and there was a lot going on, so they had to move a lot of things back to this week. So what I want to do from you, Cliff, is just give us an inside look at what will happen, what won't happen, and what can we expect. And really, does this make much of a difference to the drivers as far as position qualifying and strategy?
Well, first of all, I'll let you know that Twitter is a good tool. If you don't get on Twitter, you need to. But a lot of the guys have been Twittering from the NHRA today, and they have, in fact, moved this back to almost 2 o'clock today before these guys start running. And the unfortunate thing is they have decided that the Traxxas shootout for the funny car division will not happen this weekend. They're going to move that to a different race to be determined later. They haven't made any schedule for that. So, unfortunately, that's going to be gone by the wayside. Obviously, with all the rain and everything, they had to redo the surface of the track and everything. So, it's going to be a late start. Still going to be a crazy, crazy time because you've got guys that are on the bubble. John Force, you mentioned him earlier. He's on the bubble big time. This is the last race to get into their countdown for the championship. So, there's a good possibility that we may not see all four Force cars in the championship run for the first time in quite a while. Fast Jack Beckman, we talked to him a little bit last week also. He's going to be a force to be reckoned with. He is on fire, and he could be some trouble there. And, of course, you want to look at Schumacher Racing. Ron Capp's doing a great job there. But go over to the Top Fuel. Schumacher just dominates that class. So it'll be interesting to see what happens once we get into the countdown. There's going to be some good, exciting racing down there, and if you get an opportunity, get down there and check it out. And hopefully Mother Nature will allow us to get this thing under.
Well, one name to look out for, obviously, we talked about the name, the family name, and that's the Bernstein name. And I tell you what, I can tell you that I have been extremely impressed with the youngest in Bernstein in the NHRA, and I think that he's got a real shot to really shine there. Obviously, a driver of the Lucas Oil Top Fuel dragster, and you know, has a pretty good track record at the races, and to have to go out an extra couple extra days as well, and obviously did well out in Gainesville as well. So, you know, let's talk about some of these drivers and what's going on out here at the Mack Tools U.S. Nationals, and well, let's kind of just move around the different series. And as we talked about, and as you broke down from the different types of series that they have. Obviously, we've got the full throttle drag racing series, and we've got the pro stock, and we've got the motorcycle, and just a lot of different features. So let's just kind of take it around the classes, if you will, and let's just go with the Top Fuel. Let's look at, obviously, these are some of the fastest machines in the world, 7,000 horsepower dragsters. I'm thinking they said that they could cover the track there in what, 3.8 seconds. So who are we looking for in the Top Fuel series?
Well, again, you got Spencer Massey, Antron Brown, Morgan Lucas, Bernstein is catching fire, and obviously Tony Schumacher. And you never know where somebody's going to come out, man. You know, no matter how you look at it, drag racing, you can have a great car, you can have everything you want, but timing's a lot of it. A little bit of luck goes with it. You know, it's wide open, but I got to say, when you're looking at Top Fuel, the Schumachers just have that thing tied up. And again, you know, we got six races to go. I'm not going to sit here and say that one of them's going to win it, because you never know. But Antron Brown wins last year. He wins the championship. He's going to be a contender. And Spencer Massey is just, I don't know what it is down in Indianapolis, but he's pretty good down there too. So, you know, those are the names you're going to be looking for. Again, you know, Morgan Lucas is, I believe, now sitting at the top, because he's come on here recently in the points there.
Well, obviously, we move over to the funny car, one of my personal favorites, no secret there, Miss Courtney Force, but she's certainly not the only one. Obviously, she's the provisional number one qualifier and earned enough bonus points during the wing to clinch her spot, and one of six that finalized, and she's obviously locked in with Ron Capps and Robert Height and Jack Beckman, as we obviously had an opportunity to meet him. What a great interview he was, and a great story that he had, and I heard in the promo there where you've got him on your show that will air here on the Balance Radio Network tomorrow, and John Gray. So a lot of great names there in the funny car division. Certainly one of my favorite series. So let's talk about a young girl, rookie Courtney Force, and you know, Ron Capps and some of the other ones. What are they focused on this week at the Mack Tools U.S. Nationals?
Well, obviously, Ron Capps and Courtney Force, Robert Hyde, those guys are pretty much locked in. Beckman Hagen, you know, is another guy that's fighting Matt Hagen. And, you know, that's one of those, last year was one of the most exciting finishes in a championship run. Matt Hagen actually won it on the championship run. So, you know, to finish out the season, it's going to be crazy. John Force, you know, we talked to him a little bit. And I even made the comment, I mean, when that guy's got money on the line, he's got money on the line. I think he'll make the countdown. I'm not sure if he's going to do it. Robert Height is probably going to be your strongest from the Force. Courtney is, I mean, she puts up great times and she does well. You know, she can win a couple of the countdown races. She's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I think she's a year away from maybe winning a championship or coming close. I mean, she's always got, you know, good reaction times, and she's just a great driver, and I agree with you. I know she's one of your favorites, but and I don't mean to upset you to say that I don't think she'll win the championship this year, but I think Ron Capps has got it going for him. He's looking good. He's focused. Seems like this is the best he's ran in quite a while, and he has it out for the Force. So, you know, I know he says it a lot jokingly, but you can kind of tell he's got it out for the Forces. But I think Mike Neff and Robert Height are going to be the ones to be reckoned with when coming from the Force camp. But, you know, look out for Fast Jack Beckman, man. He is on fire. Matt Hagan is starting to come through, and we talked to his crew chief last weekend as well, and he gave us some pretty good insight. And it sounds to me like they're pretty dialed in. So don't be surprised if Hagan doesn't come out of nowhere and clinches his second in a row.
And I wouldn't be surprised at all, but you can't outrule the force maybe with you. And when the force is with you, you got John Force and Courtney Force both. And obviously, John Force could clinch by qualifying, depending on his qualifying position, and see what happens, and or his bonus points is, again, versus Hagen's qualifying position and or bonus points. But when the force is with you out there at the Mac Tools, or the Big Go, as they call it, I wouldn't rule out anything. I mean, you didn't upset me at all, my brother. I mean, hey, she's a rookie. If she wins the championship, it would be great to talk to you. And, you know, we could say, hey, you know, we talked to her. She sat right here in our studio in the Clint Eastwood chair. So, you know, we're going to have to immortalize the Clint Eastwood chair.
Yeah, I think so, man. Let's do it.
I'm with you. Well, moving on over to the Pro Stock division. And that's another really fun division to watch. And, you know, it's a lot of great drivers. Obviously, Alan Johnson, Jason Lane, Greg Anderson, Mike Edwards. And again, keep mentioning, I love to name drop, brother. When I hang around you, I get to name drop all day long, Eric, especially when it's raining out of the track. But, the number one pro stock female in the world, and made history as well as being the first female to ever win a pro stock race. Erica Anders came in and hung out in the studios with us last week. I like her, too, as well. And, of course, Vincent Noble. So, you know, you've got a lot of good and key drivers there that have been locked into the Pro Stock playoffs. And the battle remaining for the final five spots will be ranged between Ron Crusher, Shane Gray, and Larry Morgan. So those are just to name a few. So let's talk a little bit about the Pro Stock division and what's going on there. And that, really, if you like some competition, that's where you need to be watching.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I mean, you got Jason Lyon, who's won, three in a row, championships in a row. And he's kind of had some issues this year, but you can't count him out. Erica Anders and Alan Johnson and Greg Anderson, those guys have been really battling out. And, you know, Erica's got the momentum. I mean, she's won three out of the last six races. And, you know, when we talked to her, you saw, I mean, she is focused and ready to go, and she's excited. And, you know, it's funny because I asked her if she had plans on moving to any other division. I asked Jason Lyon the same thing. Those guys love that race series for some reason, and it's just awesome. I mean, Johnson's been in it forever. Anderson's been in it forever. Nobile is going to be a guy that you got to watch out for, because when he catches fire, he can catch fire. That one, I got to say, is probably the most exciting division right now, because anybody of that top 10 in that division could win this thing.
And I really like that. I hope Erica can do it. I mean, obviously, as we talked about with her on your show, and as she visited with us a little bit, she had a bit of a slump there at the beginning of the season, and then all of a sudden she just started winning, and she's not looked back since, and this could be a really big win for her. And I think that if she could lock it up, I mean, she certainly will go down in history as one of the greatest female pro stock drivers of all time. Well, let's go on over to the Pro Stock Motorcycle Series. Again, like to name drop Andy Crack, Andrew Hines. Got a chance to talk with those guys as well. You know, there's a reason that they're at the top of the list there. You know, but you know, and a couple other guys I can't pronounce their names, so we'll just go with names that motorcycle drivers had a good time with them. But I think Michael Phillips has a slim mathematical possibility of putting it together. But honestly, I think you got to look at Eddie or Andrew or Hector to pull this off at the Big Go, and as well as the championship there.
Well, I guess the bottom model line for the Pro Stock motorcycle is simple. If you have a Harley Davidson, you're going to win the championship. You know, and you're right. It's wide open. It's all year. It's been either Andrew Hines, Eddie Krawiec, or Hector Arana Sr. or Jr. Those guys are always battling it out. But, you know, as you saw when we talked to the two Vance and Hines guys, and you know, they are focused and ready to go. And Eddie Krawiec, You know, last year's champion, he's won two championships, and he wants that second in a row, I can tell you that. It's just so wide open. I mean, you never know what's going to go, and that's the cool thing. You know, when you get into NASCAR, IRL, things like that, you kind of know where those teams are going to finish up. But when you're talking drag racing, my friend, you have no idea, because all it takes is one guy to catch on fire for five or six races in a row, and he goes from eighth to first in no time.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I tell you what, I'm really excited. I've got some things going on this afternoon. I've got some appointments and meetings that I've got to run to in my other life that I've got to take care of. I'm hoping to get out there for tonight's series. I mean, it just poured down rain here and in torrential downfalls here in Indianapolis. And, you know, I had the grill all fired up, had a filet on there, some baked potatoes, a ribeye, and it just poured. And I tell you, I had ended up having to rush everything and finish it off in the oven. So I felt cheated that the rain cheated me out of NHRA Mack Tools last weekend and my big juicy ribeye that I went to Moody's Butcher Shop and got. And I tell you what, there's something wrong with buying your steaks from the meat counter at Kroger or whatever, but. There's just something about going to a real butcher. I really think he kills the cow outside, brings it in, and wraps it up and lets you take it home, put it on your grill. And it got ruined by rain, my brother. Ruined by rain.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. I actually went to some high school football game last night, and it actually got delayed until today because of lightning and rain. But, you know, obviously they play in the rain, but when it lightning is, you know, state of Indiana, they want to make sure, boom, you know, everybody's off the field. So there was quite a few games up here that got either canceled until tomorrow or today, or, you know, they got resumed today. So, the weather has really been kicking the rear end out of a lot of sports around here lately.
Well, all I can say is we went how many months with no rain here in the Midwest, and then all of a sudden we get the monsoon season comes upon us. Well, I tell you what, let's hope that it's not raining for the NASCAR. The big guys for the NASCAR series are out in Richmond as well. And, you know, you had the president of Richmond Raceway for – brain fart for Saturday morning. Forgot his name, and I apologize for that, but you had him on his show. And so Richmond's a great track, and obviously the Sprint Cup. And, you know, I noticed it in our series of texts last night that you said, I can go to bed now that Danica's wrecked. So let's talk a little bit about Richmond, what's going on there this weekend. And Kevin Harvick obviously pulls off his win there in Richmond. But let's talk about the Sprint Cup series and so forth. And I just, you know, she crashes it to the wall there at Richmond. So is there anything that you want to talk about your, you know, Danica? Because I know that you were really heartbroken.
First of all, that wasn't me that tweeted that, okay?
Oh, it was Pete? See, I get everybody confused when we get in these group sessions, you know. So circle of trust, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I root for Danica. I don't necessarily like the way that she treats people sometimes, but I like Danica. But, I'm not even going to talk about Danica this time. I'll tell you what I want to talk about. Is an Indiana, or she drives for the Indiana team out of Warsaw, NL Motorsports. Johanna Long did a tremendous job last night. I kept getting texts from our staff photographer because I was at the football game, and I, of course, watched Twitter and everything. But Johanna Long put on a heck of a display yesterday. And unfortunately, because of her not being, you know, a top 10 team or a top tier team getting all the big bucks, she was actually short a couple of people on her pit crew. But she just blew by Denny Hamlin last night early in the race and was on her way up for fifth place. And unfortunately, when she went into pit, she went from 5 to 14th, and then she blew a tire and kind of blew her all night. She ended up 32nd. But it was amazing to watch the tweets last night because Kenny Wallace said it the best. You know, Danica has all the money. She gets all the press. And he said it this way, is Johanna Long should start paying ESPN to get her face up there all the time. But even Jeff Burton, who is a NASCAR Sprint Cup racer, said she deserves a top 10 car. And I'm telling you what, man, she just looked good yesterday. And we interviewed her this week and talked to previewed Richmond with her. And she was excited as heck because, you know, let's face it, a lot of people don't know, she's come up through the short track racing, and that's how she got to where she's at today, and she specializes in those tracks, you know, obviously Richmond being a three-quarter mile. So good job to her. But Kevin Harvick pulls out a good win with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Did a great job. He finished second. And I'll tell you what, you want to talk about some excitement when it comes to championship series. Stenhouse now is only 1 point behind Elliott Sadler for the championship.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's an exciting shape up. We've been chasing the other series over the last few weeks. I haven't really had a lot of time to talk about NASCAR. Obviously, some big news. Matt Kenseth going over to Gibbs Racing. A lot of switcheroos going on there. Real quickly, what is your thought about Kenseth going over to Gibbs Racing?
Well, you know, it's something that I said when it first came up that he wasn't going to go out. I figured that what they would do is take Joey Logano and put him down into Nationwide, getting some more seasoning. And that's what I really figured would happen. But he surprises us, and he's going to go drive the Penske number 22 Shell car next year for, again, Penske Racing. And Matt Kenseth, I think he's a good fit for them. It's going to be kind of interesting with the egos of Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch. And here comes Kenseth. The good thing about Kenseth, though, is he should, as of right now anyway, he should have a sponsor that's going to stick with him for quite a while. So I think it's a good move for him. And there's rumors that Carl's trying to get out of his contract and go somewhere. There's also rumors that Kurt Busch may be driving for Childress Racing next year. There's this, you know, it's silly season. I mean, we already heard that Martin Truex signed an extension with Waltrip Racing, and then we also found out that Ryan Newman signed on for another year, which that surprised me. I figured for sure he would let go. And while we're on Stewart House Racing, if you haven't heard, Tony Stewart lost Office Depot as his main sponsorship for next year.
I did not hear that. I absolutely did not hear that. Well, you know, when you hear a rumor has it, it means that rumor has it.
No. Exactly. That's what I said, rumor.
Hey, we were running out of time. I wanted to get some into some IndyCar talk, but we just weren't able to do that. Obviously, they're going to be at the American Real 500. But again, that's not for another 7 days, 11 hours, and 2 minutes. But who's counting, right? And, you know, one thing I do want to point out, though, and I told Josh I would do this, and obviously he's part of the Speed Talk family of race car drivers. He's going to be out at Prime Car Wash today on 146th and 37th, and providing that the weather's there, you may not need a free car wash, but go out there and support Josh Timmerman. I know he's got a lot of stuff going on out there, and I know he's got a lot of things going on with Families of Hope, and so certainly go out there if you have an opportunity at 146th and State Road 37, right up there by the Golf Championship, and get your car washed for free. Well, Pete, here's what I want to know. I know you guys got your show tomorrow. What's going on there? I got a press release, and I don't want to spill the beans, but you guys have a major announcement coming up. So when can someone expect that major announcement, and what's going on in your show tomorrow?
Well, first of all, Pete's not here.
Cliff, I am so sorry. I don't know why I said Pete. I don't know why. It's like, I don't know. I promise you I will correct that matter, sir.
Oh, that's all right, man. I'm just messing
I'll give you an extra 5 seconds. Go ahead. Go.
We do have a major announcement coming up, and that's going to happen in the next – it'll be on this show. But you're going to see some changes and some personnel changes, things going like that. Just listen, and you'll hear – again, you'll hear our interview with Jack Beckman from the NHRA and also Johanna Long as well. And we just talked a little bit about the NHRA and our adventure with you, Tom, and the balance, and what a great time we had, and I look forward to continuing the relationship that we've got, and just talk racing, man. Go fast.
Absolutely. Go fast, and if you could get out to the Big Go, then go on out there to the Big Go at Lucas Oil. Apparently, you've got a few extra hours now to, beg the wife to go or tell her to go. You know, the good thing about it is if you already had your tickets, they work, so, and you can buy tickets right when you get there. So, you know, I talked with Scott during the week, Scott Smith, out there at Lucas Oil, and he said, we got plenty of tickets available, so come on out. So there you go, guys. the big go. And I'll tell you what, I know you're Cliff, so I know you do tweet. So where can people find you on Twitter, Facebook, etc.?
Well, again, you can go to Radio Speed Talk 2. That's where I'm at. And you'll be seeing a lot of Twittering going on tonight for that big race in Richmond. Again, you can go to Facebook.com/Radio Speed Talk and go to RadioSpeedTalk.com. You'll hear every interview we've ever done, every show we've ever done.
Every interview, every show. The good, the bad, the ugly, huh?
Yes, sir. And there was some ugly one.
I had to end it with another Clint Eastwood analogy. All right, Cliff, we got to go. Coming up, guys, we're going to be talking some college football with Jimmy the intern. We're going to be breaking down some of the key games, obviously Notre Dame and Purdue in action. And just we're going to go around the conference and take some of the key games this weekend and break them down. And then coming up here at the top of the hour, Ed Kratz of Calkins Media going to be breaking down the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cleveland Browns on around the league. And then coming up at 10:15, we've got Jeff Kurtz of Bear Claws. We're going to break down the Colts and the Bears. That's right, guys. Then 10:30, Fantasy Football Huddle. You do not want to miss right around the corner. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. This week on Speed Talk, we recap our rainy adventure down to the U.S. Nationals in Indianapolis. We talk to Nationwide driver Joanna Long, and we interview NHRA funny car driver Jack Beckman.
And here I am. I got two beautiful children now. I get paid to drive a race car. I get to hang out with you two in the rain. Life's pretty good.
Aw, we're humbled.
Well, you've never been humbled, Pete. Let's be honest.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports. Welcome back. You know what? They teach you in Radio 101 that you should turn down your music bed before you start talking. Well, you know what? I sometimes just don't get all the buttons working in the right way. Well, we do have the buttons working now, and Mr. Jimmy the intern is working with us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
Dude, you need some coffee? What's up, man?
Bringing
us all down.
It's more my voice. It doesn't sound as good as it could, but, you know, I know what I'm saying. I'm ready to go. And
I understand. You're in college. It's early on Saturday morning, and you stay up late on Friday night studying. I get it. And it's just like a lot of other college kids around the world, right?
Yep, it can get rough, you got to do that late Friday studying.
Hey, I understand. How are things going down there in Bloomington, Indiana, and Indiana University for you, sir?
We'll see how the day unfolds. A lot of it's going to hinge on that Saturday game here today, but things are going pretty good for me, Tom.
All right, good to hear, good to hear. Well, we do want to break down a lot of games, and what we're going to do is we're just going to kind of go. Evan's not going to be able to join us today. I guess he had to go back home to LaPel. He's a college student as well out at Purdue University. I guess he has some things going on there. So anyway, so it's me and you, Kimo Sabe, and so we're going to break down some of the key games around the league, and obviously Purdue-Notre Dame, one of the biggest games going on today. But let's talk a little bit about this IU game. What can we expect? And great game last week. I'm going to. It seemed like we put it together at the end. They're like, "Holy crap, we're going to lose this game. We got to do something." No, I'm just kidding. But I enjoyed watching him last week on TV. But always, I got to say, this is not the Big Ten, so this is not where the real challenge are. But I liked how they looked on the field. So let's talk about last week's game, and let's go ahead and break down the keys for this week's game.
Well, starting against Indiana State, they had more trouble than people thought they might, especially containing Shakir Bell, the Warren Central product running back. He ran for over 190 yards, 8 yards a pop, touchdown. Just really had his way with the Indiana defense, did whatever he wanted to, and really brought Indiana State very close to a victory. Really, Indiana struggled more than people expected against Indiana State, but the way that ISU's offense played should not have been unexpected. Their defense played a little better than expected, and IU's offense didn't do everything it needed to do. They ran for fewer than 4 yards to carry, right around 3.5, which just is not going to get it done against big-time opponents in the Big Ten. They're going to need to hit that level play up. Overall, though, against Indiana State, they played well enough to win, and that's just what they did.
Well, obviously, IU travels out to, Foxborough, and they play in a very huge stadium against UMass and seeks its first FBS win since 2010. So talk with me a little bit about that game.
And they've got enemy territory. They're in enemy territory for today, and you said they're looking for their first FBS win since 2010. That's technically true, but UMass just joined the FBS. It's like if you would – I'm not thinking of a good analogy right now, but it's really close to another FCS opponent. Now, these guys came very close to beating Michigan a couple years ago. They're one of the better FCS teams traditionally, but they're breaking in a new head coach, a new system, and a new true freshman quarterback. UMass, not a very good football team. IU should have a pretty good chance to win today, even in traditional enemy territory, Foxborough, Gillette Stadium, that kind of thing.
Well, you know, I'm interested to see that game, and obviously they don't get an opportunity to play in such a big stadium, and it's an outdoor stadium. Not that that makes a big difference because they play outdoors now, but what my curious is there's a big difference between playing in an NFL stadium and a college stadium where IU plays. How much of a difference do you think that's really going to make to IU and how they play UMass and how they approach UMass, especially in special teams, field goals, and punting?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a different experience than playing in Memorial or playing in another one of those normal college stadiums because Gillette is used to hosting NFL games. It's as big as it gets, not just attendance-wise, but mainly just the feel of it. And hopefully this team isn't thrown off by it. They had the chance to play at FedEx Field a couple of years ago for the Penn State game. But not exactly sure what we're going to see as far as that goes. UMass, the way that they played against UConn, IU shouldn't be excessively worried. They gained only 60 yards of offense in that game. Their defense didn't look great. But if IU does have trouble, one of the factors could very well be the pro state, and they're not used to the surroundings, that they're maybe a little taken aback by the big setting of Gillette Stadium.
Well, we're talking with Jimmy the intern, a.k.a. Jimmy Kavanaugh, from just about every major college sports contributor around, at least that has to do with IU. I want to know, Jimmy, is there anything that you're not on when it comes to IU and IU broadcast sports blogs,
writings, anything? You are the foremost expert on Indiana University. And so that's why I was absolutely shocked last week when we were doing our show out at Lucas Oil Raceway to learn that you were actually paying attention to another game, which leads us into I'm sorry I had to give you a hard time. Obviously, Notre Dame was out in Dublin, Ireland last week to play Navy. And let's talk a little bit about Notre Dame. Are they the real deal, or is Purdue the real deal? And, you know, I tell you what, I think this is when I've got March as one of my key marquee games of the week, Purdue at Notre Dame. You know, after making a series of hits in the late 1980s and early 1990s, Purdue has lost 6 of 7 to Notre Dame and has won only once in South Bend since 1974. And Purdue is facing a usual quarterback chaos, we'll call it. And so I had some of these questions reserved for Evan, but you're going to have to feel the role today, Jimmy. Is Purdue the real deal this week? I mean, I watched on the internet the best that I could the Notre Dame and Navy game, and I tell you what, I like the way Notre Dame played. I like the way they looked, and I think that Purdue's going to have a struggle. I want to say that Purdue has a very good chance of beating Notre Dame, and maybe Purdue has turned things around. Maybe they are the real deal. That's what I want to know from you. You're the expert on this. Tell us, tell the minions here, is Purdue everything that they say they are this year, or are they just some smoke and mirrors going on?
Well, Tom, if Evan was here, I think he would be the guy standing up for Purdue, trying to convince people how good they are. And they're not a real lackluster team. They've got players, especially along the defensive line, Bruce Gaston, Kawan Short, two of the best defensive tackles in the Big Ten. Ricardo Allen at quarterback, a really talented player in the defensive secondary. But I just don't see enough of an improvement from last year's Purdue team. Last year, Purdue played in Ross-Ade Stadium and was absolutely dominated by Notre Dame. And Notre Dame didn't keep it close. It seems like Purdue's best shot today is to hope that the Irish are jet-lagged, hope that they're looking ahead to the next couple weeks. They play Michigan. They play Michigan State. A little later down the line, they play Miami, Stanford. Purdue's got to hope Notre Dame is looking to those games, because last year the Irish showed clearly that they are a more physically dominant team than Purdue. I think this Purdue team is better than the one they saw last year. I think that holds true for this Irish team as well.
Well, and I totally agree. But I like Notre Dame. I think that they are – I just think that Purdue, just based on history – I think Purdue has a good shot of doing very well this year. I just think that today is not their day to prove to the world that they are back. And, you know, I hope I'm wrong for Big Ten's sake and, you know, Evan's sake. But I'm kind of thinking that Notre Dame is going to triumph in this matchup. So let's talk about this matchup. Notre Dame, Purdue, obviously national television. Let's talk about it from the numbers. Purdue, Notre Dame, Jimmy, what has to go on in this game to make it the game of the week that I've got circled in big thing? Hey, this is a game I've got to watch. I think a lot of people are going to watch this game. This is a key game. So walk me through the numbers on both sides, Notre Dame and Purdue. What has to go on in the locker rooms and as they prepare for this game today?
Well, Tom, I guess starting on the Notre Dame side of the ball, just on offense, Brian Kelly said it best early this week. The offensive line is going to need to step up big. The offensive line needs to play the way they did against Navy. They really dominated Navy. Navy didn't have a shot against them. Notre Dame ran the ball anytime they wanted to open up things in the passing game and basically move the ball at will. It looks a lot like they did against Purdue last year. Purdue on the defensive line, like I said, Bruce Gaston and Kawan Short are going to be key. It's going to be in the trenches. I think that's about 60% of the game today. Irish with one of the better offensive lines in the country, Zach Martin. I've had the chance actually to talk to a couple NFL scouts, one of who went to my high school, won the Mr. Football Award a few years ago in the state, Dewan Daniels, saying that Zach Martin, the Notre Dame left tackle, was being looked at as a mid-first-round pick last year. And he's only moving up the board. He's one of the best offensive linemen in the country. The Irish have a few of those guys. and that may be the most talented unit on this team. Just that Notre Dame offensive line, being able to get things done today against the Purdue defense. If they can do that, I think Purdue's going to be in for a very long day.
And I totally agree with you. I think that this is not the week for Purdue. Now, I'm not saying this isn't the year for Purdue, because I think they really do have improved, and I think that maybe they aren't as much of a smoke and mirrors as we think that they might be. But certainly, I think that they're going to have a challenge here. I do want to kind of look at the Big Ten, but I want to look at some of the other big games, though, as well. You know, you look at Penn State and Virginia, and unfortunately, Penn State, and you say, wow, Penn State, are we still talking about Penn State? You know, you look at how a major dynasty has fallen, and, you know, who would have guessed a year ago, you know, when IU took Virginia down to the wire and you know, again, I hate to say this, but blew the game, quite frankly, that the Cavaliers would be 10-point favorites over Penn State on the same weekend of the next season. So let's talk about that game, Penn State and Virginia. And I think really, you know, a lot of people are watching Penn State. Unfortunately, they don't qualify for a lot of things, but, you know, they've got the NCAA issues and sanctions that are going on there and just different things that are just overall the things that have happened there. Let's forget about that for a moment. Let's look at Penn State and Virginia. You know, I think Penn State's favored by 7 or 10 in that ballpark. And obviously they're favored to beat Virginia, but how important is a win against Virginia to Penn State, and what does Virginia got to do when taking on the Nittany Lions?
It's pretty important, I would say, because Penn State wasn't able to put together a win in their first effort of the season. They couldn't get past Ohio, and the Bobcats put up, I think, 17 or 21 consecutive points. They did what they wanted in the second half against the Nittany Lion defense, and Bill O'Brien was not able to walk out of Happy Valley with a win in his first career game, and he'd really like to change that against Virginia. Anyway, Virginia last year, if people are wondering about them, really exceeded expectations. It came out under their new head coach, finally were able to be successful. They got to a bowl game. And you talked about the game earlier in the year against IU. That's where they first gave a glimpse that they were capable of winning big games, close games, early in the year. It came against IU, sure, but you're exactly right that IU had a chance to win that game, gave it away late. I'm interested to see what we see from Virginia. I'm not exactly positive. Virginia was really up and down last year. They weren't the picture of consistency, and neither was Penn State in week one. So I'm going to say this is a complete toss-up. It's going to rely a lot on the ground game, how Penn State stops it, how Virginia operates it, and Penn State's side of the ball, their ground game really needs to step up. Traditionally a very strong team, not the case week one against Ohio.
Well, I agree with you. And I hope Penn State just comes out, even though they can't really, win any championships or anything like that. Obviously forbidden for a lot of things going on there right now. But I just hope for their sake and their organization that they can come out there and prove something to the world that, hey, Penn State is back. It happened. We're sorry it happened. We're moving forward. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of things that happened had nothing to do with the players and stuff that are there, and it's just a sad situation. So my hat's off to Penn State. I hope they do well against Virginia. Now, we look over. Obviously, we can't go a week without talking about Ohio State. They go against Central Florida, going to be on over there on ESPN. You know, Central Florida won big at Akron last weekend, but their second consecutive trip to Ohio State probably won't be as much fun. Anything we're looking for in that game?
Mainly just the unfair combination of Urban Meyer and Braxton Miller. It's about to take the Big Ten by storm. Ohio State's in a similar boat as Penn State, not qualified for postseason play this year. They're just playing out the season. They're going to try to get as many fans in that stadium as they can and try to build for the future. It's going to be on Braxton Miller, that quarterback, the dynamic sophomore, who showed some good things last year, but is going to be looking to take it to the next level with Urban Meyer. I look for them to give him a lot of opportunities playing spread. He'll run, he'll use his arm. And, you know, really, I don't think Ohio State stands a big chance of losing today against Central Florida. Their offense is that good. That dynamic Carlos Hyde, the tailback as well, gives them a lot of options running the ball. And Ohio State's defense is Ohio State's defense. Those guys are generally pretty good.
Well, let's look ahead to the Big Ten with Ohio State. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on that because there's going to be a lot of talk about it as we move forward. Looking forward at Ohio State and Indiana. I'm asking this because of our association with IU and your association at IU. Is Indiana going to beat Ohio State this year?
Standing right here on today's date, I'm going to say no, just because of the talent discrepancy. Look, I think that Indiana is going to be much improved from last year. I don't know if that will necessarily show up in the record because they were just that bad last year. That being said, they did play Ohio State pretty tough last season. Braxton Miller was able to put together enough plays to win. IU did have a chance late in that game to drive down the field, score a touchdown, tie it all up at 35. Just didn't end up happening that way. I think they could play a really good game here at Memorial Stadium. I think they can keep it close. But Ohio State is too much better, I believe, to say right here that IU is going to come out and have a really good chance to win that game. They could equip themselves well, but I do not feel comfortable picking a win.
Well, and I agree. And that's the reason why I asked you that, because the more research I do into this particular game, I think IU has a very good shot of winning. And obviously, we got a little bit of space between now and then, and let's hope that they can put a string together some wins to go in there with some momentum. And what a huge win that would be for IU. Another fun game this weekend, and I think it's fun because it's just Iowa and Iowa State. I mean, it's going to be on the Big Ten Network today. You know, the Hawkeyes always play down the Cyclones, obviously, and then the other way around. But according, you know, to odds makers, they really don't have much to play down this year. And like I said, this game's always entertaining. Iowa State. What are your thoughts? The Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
I'm not too familiar with Iowa State, but the Hawkeyes are another story. There are a few things to watch for in this game. Number one, James Vandenberg, one of the better quarterbacks in the Big Ten, one of the more experienced signal callers. And the offense is totally his this year because last year's leading rusher transferred. He's now at Stony Brook. Iowa really looking for some answers out of that backfield. It's going to be all on James Vandenberg. And in addition, Marvin McNutt, his favorite receiver from last year, no longer there. Vandenberg doesn't have the weapons he had. He doesn't have the running game he had last year. And the Iowa defense is uncharacteristically weak. Iowa's going to need to put up a lot of yards through the air. They're going to need to put a lot of points on the scoreboard that way, on the strength of James Vandenberg. He is going to be the guy who makes this team go. And this season for the Iowa Hawkeyes, as James Vandenberg goes, those guys are going to go. Everything they're going to do revolves around him.
Well, I tell you what, you know, I want to kind of begin to move out of the league a little bit, even though I know there's some good games coming up. Obviously, Wisconsin, Oregon State. Anything you want to mention about that one?
Just that Wisconsin's looking pretty good again. Maybe that Monty Ball, despite being attacked in the offseason by random hoodlums, still should have a pretty decent shot to do some big things on the ground this year. Working on a new quarterback, maybe a little different than Russell Wilson currently starting in the NFL. But Wisconsin does have some really good weapons, and you know, Wisconsin is Wisconsin. I think they're the favorite to come out of their division this year and play in the Big Ten championship game.
Well, one other game is Nebraska obviously makes their first road trip to a venue that they would hope to make their last road trip, the Rose Bowl against UCLA. UCLA put up some big numbers last year. What is Nebraska's chances against UCLA?
Don't really know a whole lot about UCLA at this point in the season. They did win their opener. They looked pretty good doing it under their brand new head coach, Jim Mora. But that being said, Nebraska did some good things last year. They've got Taylor Martinez back, and they've got a team that was reasonably solid last year. They had their ups and downs, but I think Nebraska should be favored
going into this game. UCLA, with their backs up against the wall a little bit, maybe they get a chip on their shoulder, hear people picking against them, come out and are able to play Nebraska pretty tight. That'll be an interesting game to see how it goes, and I think it'll be a better measurement of UCLA maybe than it will be of Nebraska.
All righty. Well, you know what? One last final game here, because I do want you to, because I want you to hear this. We're starting a brand new segment here called Elizabeth the Greek. Elizabeth the Greek, and I tell you what, this is a fantastic our one of our racing affiliate stations, Pete LaFuchsia with Radio Speed Talk, who joined us for the first half hour of the show to talk racing. His daughter. Pitt has just become just this phenomenon on YouTube and various different stations, and you know, in major markets, she's actually on their morning drive show, and she's got a segment called Elizabeth the Greek, where she picks some college and some pro football. So we're gonna do that real quickly though before we go there. Jimmy, USC and Syracuse, what are your thoughts?
USC is better than Syracuse. That's about the extent of my thoughts there. Matt Barkley may have a field day. Maybe not. USC defense, same deal there. Syracuse played pretty well against Northwestern. But Northwestern and USC are on different planes. I would expect USC to win this game pretty handily.
All right, guys. Without further ado, the world premiere on at least on the Balance Radio Network, Elizabeth the Greek. And Jimmy, I'm going to join you on the other side. I want your thoughts real quickly on her picks, guys. As we begin, and we'll be doing this every Saturday throughout college football, Elizabeth the Greek.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's time for
Elizabeth the Greek.
This week on Elizabeth the Greek, we're going to pick four college and five NFL games. Are you ready to pick them, Elizabeth? Okay, in high school.
Elizabeth the Greek.
Wow, I have to call you by your proper name. Okay, Elizabeth the Greek. College football, do you pick Indiana University or UMass?
UMass.
UMass. Ball State or number 12 Clemson?
Ball State.
Ball State's going to pull the upset. All right. And number 13 Wisconsin or Oregon State? Yes, I am good at it. I talk on radio all the
no,
time.
No, me.
Oh, wow. Is your head getting big? Okay. let's keep in college football. Number 13, Wisconsin or Oregon State?
Oregon State.
Another upset you're calling with the Beavers upsetting the Badgers.
I'm doing the last
Badgers.
One and the
Well, book. No. Oh, well, however. And then here, this is going to be a really good one. Let's go. We got one more. And the last one, Purdue or number 22, Notre Dame?
22, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame? What do we say about Notre Dame?
Go Bears!
That's right. But we don't have to scream it. Let's move on to the NFL. In our afternoon game, the Indianapolis Colts or the Chicago Bears?
The Chicago Bears.
You are picking the Chicago Bears. Moving on to the afternoon game, is it the Carolina Panthers or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Tampa Bay Pimples.
The Tampa Bay Pimples? I didn't think that was their name. And Aunt Diane's probably not going to like that, but I'm assuming you're picking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's move on to, hey, we've got to get this going, okay? Okay, Elizabeth the Greek. And for Sunday night, do you go with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Denver Broncos?
Denver Broncos.
The Denver Broncos. Moving on to Monday night, there's two games. First one, Cincinnati Bengals or the Baltimore Ravens?
The Baltimore Bengals.
Wow, you're going with all the home teams on the NFL. And then finally, we got San Diego Chargers or the Oakland Raiders?
The Oakland Raiders.
Wow, so you picked all five home teams in the NFL. All right, who picked those?
I'm at the best of great.
All right. The debut of Elizabeth the Greek. Jimmy the intern, what are your thoughts on Elizabeth the Greek and her picks?
Yeah, she went with a lot of home teams, which makes sense in both college and pro football. There's an advantage there to be had. And she also seems pretty confident for an early radio voice. you know, there aren't a whole lot of things you can pick Satiately. I'm not so sure about Ball State beating Clemson, but I'm sure, like she would say, she would tell you, any given Saturday, any given Sunday, anything could happen. And her picks, I think, reflect that.
Absolutely. Well, Jimmy the intern, a.k.a. Jimmy Kavanaugh, so glad that you could join us, guys. Coming up here at the top of the hour, we've got Ed Kratz. He's going to be talking around the league. Obviously, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to break down the Eagles and the Browns. And then at 10:15, we're going to break down that Colts and Bears game at 10:30, Fantasy Football Huddle. Jimmy, you want to stay around? You got to go.
I might have to get out, Tom. Both the fact that I'm ridiculously exhausted and we got some other stuff to handle early on this morning, playing into that fact. But thank you for having me on.
Real quickly, where can people find your work and your masterpieces, sir?
If people want to follow me on Twitter, at JPCIV, they can do that. And they can also find some of my written work at iesportcom.com.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. Jimmy the Intern, a.k.a. Jimmy the Kavanaugh, and as well as Elizabeth the Greek and Evan Williams. Right here on the Balance Radio Network, guys. My minions don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This week on Speed Talk, we recap our rainy adventure down to the U.S. Nationals in Indianapolis. We talk to Nationwide driver Joanna Long, and we interview NHRA Funny Car driver Jack Beckman.
And here I am. I got two beautiful children now. I get paid to drive a race car. I get to hang out with you two in the rain. Life's pretty good.
Aw, we're humbled.
Well, you've never been humbled, Pete. Let's be honest.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports. My minions, welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. My name's Saul Marquez, El Presidente. Guys, it is so good to have you along in second hour. Our special thanks to our guest in hour number one, Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk, talking about the big go, trying it again this week out at the Mac Tools U.S. Nationals. Obviously, we did our show live there all 2 hours last week at Lucas Oil Raceway. Had a great time talking with Courtney Force, John Force, Erica Anders, and many others last weekend. They're going to try it again this week because, as we know, we got rained out last weekend. And Jimmy Kavanaugh and Elizabeth the Greek talking about some college football matchups. Guys, it is time for hour number two where we break down the NFL and around the league. This week is Mr. Ed Kratz from Caucus Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles are eager to get started there, Ed. Ed, welcome back to the Balance, sir. How are you doing on Saturday?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tom. Must have been a rough first hour there, huh?
Yeah,
Eagers.
The eager Eagles. That's for sure. Well, you know, before we get into this, I wanted to talk with you about, and I texted you a little bit about this. Obviously, an arbitrator totally overturns the NFL's decision to suspend some New Orleans players on the whole bounty gate, if you will. How does that impact other teams, and how does that impact teams going forward? Because I tell you what, this could be very huge, monumental precedent of things to come.
Yeah, well, you're right about that. I'm not sure how it's going to affect other teams. But as far as those Saints players go, I think I never really understood how they were suspended for the season in the first place. You know, they're just following directions from the coaching staff. You know, the defensive coordinator, and you know, I don't know how they got suspended to begin with, but I think that going forward, Roger Goodell, you have to look at some of his authority. You know, he's kind of ruled with a heavy fist here in some of his suspensions since he took over as the commissioner of the NFL, and you wonder what this does to sort of usurp some of his authority. I don't see him rolling over on this one, though. I think he's going to take this as far as he can. You know, as far as other teams doing it, I don't think the other teams will do it just because of, you know, look at the distraction it's caused. And you have to wonder how that is going to impact the New Orleans Saints this season. You know, they have a lot of talent down there, and, you know, we'll see if this distraction is going to cost them some wins.
Well, you know, you spend a lot of time in the locker rooms with the Philadelphia Eagles, and obviously the Eagles have always been known to be a tough defensive team and always been a team that has been known to, you know, hey, they're gonna let you know that you're playing in the NFL. It's a grown man's game, especially when you play the Eagles. So what do you think the validity of this whole bounty gate is? Does it really happen, or is it just a lot of media blow up about nothing?
No, I think it probably happens. I think as a defense, you know, when you play defense in the NFL and you play quarterback in the NFL, you're a marked man. But, you know, those defenses are going to come after you. And, you know, if they can knock you out of the game, great. That's probably what they're trying to do, is to try to get that quarterback or the other team's best player out of the game. But, you know, when you start, you know, throwing, you know, money around for those types of hits and, you know, for card offs and, you know, whatever the Saints were alleged to be doing there, I think that crosses the line. And but as a player, again, you're just kind of doing what, you know, what the culture of that locker room is. And the culture is put forth by the coaches. And, you know, to penalize the players by suspending them for a year, I thought was over the top. Now, you know, whether or not they should have gotten a couple games or, you know, been fined, maybe that was the case. But, you know, I just think that's a defense's aim every week, is to go after the best team's player and try to take them out. But do it legally and do it clean. You know, don't go after a knee or twist an ankle in a pile or, you know, knock the quarterback in his head. You know, let's play the game clean. I mean, the game is hard enough to play to begin with. And, you know, when you start throwing some of that stuff in, you know, it just, to me, crosses the line. You know, I remember when Buddy Ryan was the coach of the Eagles and they played the Dallas Cowboys in the famous body bag game. You know, he wanted to take players out and he made no bones about it. You know, he said go after the other team's players and try and knock them out of the game. And that's the infamous body bag game. So, I mean, this stuff's been going on for forever. It's just the nature of the game, but there's a right way and there's definitely a wrong way to do it.
Well, and I absolutely 100% agree. We're talking with Ed Kratz of Talkin's Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, or obviously our segment around the league. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that bout. Obviously, Will Smith will now have the ability, at least, to help New Orleans defense to try to stop top rookie quarterback RG3. And Scott Verhuda and Anthony Hargrove, obviously no longer members of the Saints, but certainly are free to play on Sunday as well. So interesting turn of events. But let's talk about the Eagles. That's what we got you on here. The Eagles really need to fully exploit their dangerous running game. So talk with me a little bit about the Eagles, the Browns, and that matchup, obviously week one of the official season of the Eagles.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot of experts or fans that are giving the Browns much of a chance in this game. You know, they're very young, the Cleveland Browns are. They have 15 rookies that they kept on their roster and 11 second-year players. So, you know, it's a very young roster. I think playing at home will help them. You know, and I think Brandon Whedon being, even though this is his first game, he's 28 years old. He's been through the, you know, minor league baseball, so he's a little bit more seasoned. But you know, the Eagles are a 9.5-point favorite for a reason, and I think it's because they're an experienced group. Their offense, if Michael Vick is able to stay on the field and stay healthy, they just have so many weapons on that side of the ball. And, you know, the Cleveland Browns are going to start two rookies on defense. One of them is at the strong side linebacker. You know, I suspect that the Eagles are going to come out early and try to throw the ball on this team. I think they're calling for rain maybe in Cleveland. That might impact some of the throws that they do. But I think that they're going to try to get their tight ends involved. Brent Celek and Clay Harbor and see what those linebackers can do in coverage against them, and maybe get Michael Vick into some sort of a rhythm to begin the game. And then once they start doing that, then they'll probably turn their running back with Sean McCoy loose, who, you know, we all know last year had a tremendous season, rushed for over 1,500 yards and had 20 touchdowns, which is an NFL, or it's an Eagles record anyway, 20 touchdowns. 17 of those were on the ground. So that seems to be what I think is going to happen, you know, talking to, you know, some of the players this week. I think they're going to try to establish Vic, get him into a rhythm early. And I know Sheldon Brown is a former Eagle in that secondary for the Cleveland Browns. And when they played earlier this year in a preseason game, Damaris Johnson, the Eagles' rookie wide receiver, was able to get open against Sheldon Brown pretty regularly. And Damaris Johnson's a fourth, you know, he's the fourth receiver on this team. So you wonder, you know, how is he going to cover a DeSean Jackson or a Jeremy Maclin or a Jason Avant for the Eagles? But, you know, having said that, the Eagles stumbled against teams last season when they went 8-8 against teams that everybody thought they would beat. For instance, the Arizona Cardinals. When the Arizona Cardinals last year came to Philadelphia, John Skelton was the starting quarterback in that game, and he beat the Eagles. So, you know, every team every week I think has a shot in the NFL. It's just going to be interesting to see how Brandon Weeden and their running back Trent Richardson, another rookie who hasn't played or practiced a whole lot in the preseason because of a knee injury. He just got back on the field Monday. We'll see how those rookies pair up in their first NFL game. But, I just think the Eagles, especially their defensive line, where they have plenty of firepower, plenty of guys who can rush the passer, is just going to be a little bit too much for the Browns in their opener.
Absolutely. And you know what? Here's the thing as well. You know, Michael Vick, you know, says that, you know, they cannot afford a slow start like they did last year. The Eagles opened up the 2011 season by losing four of their first five games, even though they closed the season by winning four straight games after that sluggish start. And that's something quarterback Michael Vick said that they have to avoid at all costs. So that said, Michael Vick says it. Do you agree with it, and what do they have to do to avoid that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, listen, the Eagles went to St. Louis last year in their opener, and they won, and then they lost their next four games. And a big problem in those four losses were one on offense was turnovers, especially Michael Vick. They would get into the red zone, and Michael Vick would get a pass deflected at the line of scrimmage, and it would be intercepted. Or he would complete a pass to a wide receiver, and the wide receiver would fumble. Or Michael Vick would just throw a very bad interception down the field. So turnovers were a huge problem for the Eagles last year, especially in that four-game losing streak that got them off to the 1-4 start. Vick finished with 14 interceptions and three lost fumbles. So he accounted for 17 turnovers, and he didn't even start all 16 games last year. He did that in 13 starts. So, you know, that's just an awful number of turnovers to absorb. And, you know, in the NFL, I think I saw a stat where 78% of the teams who have less turnovers than the other team wins the game. So, obviously, you can't turn the ball over. Now, defensively, what the Eagles did in that four-game losing streak was they were not able to stop the run very effectively. They gave up 100-yard gains to three of the four running backs they played in that four-game losing streak. And I think a big part of that was the fact that, number one, they were starting a rookie fourth-round pick at middle linebacker in Casey Matthews, who, you know, is the brother of Clay Matthews in Cleveland. And, you know, he did not have much of a learning curve because of the lockout last season. I know that every NFL team was in that boat, but I think the rookie fourth-round pick was just overwhelmed, didn't have a grasp of what he needed to do on defense, and was thinking too much. And the Eagles put in a wide nine defensive scheme under defensive line coach Jim Washburn, where they play the ends out wide on the defensive line and line them up almost like sprinters at a track meet, where as soon as that ball is snapped, they're rushing upfield to try to get to the passer. They don't really have a whole lot of run responsibility. So that's incumbent on the linebackers to make tackles. And last year, the Eagles early on were not able to make stops in the run game, and that really cost them. Now, they got better at it as the season went along, and they won their last four games. And, you know, they had this whole offseason to sort of, reacclimate themselves with that wide nine scheme. They upgraded their linebacker core by trading for D'Amico Ryans, who's a former defensive rookie of the year when he was with the Houston Texans. and they drafted a kid out of California who I think is going to be a star in this league by the name of Michael Kendricks. He's a little short, but he's just been, you know, all over the field really in the preseason, and I expect them to have some blitz packages put in place for him and maybe line him up on receivers coming out of the backfield and just make a blow-up type hit and have him try to make an impact in the game. So,
I couldn't agree with you more. We're talking with Ed Kratz of Calkins Media around the league here with Philadelphia Eagles and breaking down the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cleveland Browns. And also joining us, and I know, Ed, we said we had you for 15 minutes. You're more than welcome to join us as we move into our next conversation. But joining us also is Jeff Kurtz of Bear Claws. We're going to break down the Chicago Bears and the Indianapolis Colts. Jeff, welcome to The Balance.
Good morning. Good talking to you guys.
Hey, good to have you. And Ed, you're more than welcome to hang out here with us, and we'll just kind of merge all the conversations. But one thing, guys, and I wanted to bring Jeff on this for this conversation. Obviously, NFL lost one of the greats, Art Modell. And, you know, I wanted to take some time to just remember him for a moment. I know that the Eagles are playing the Browns, and maybe there's not so many fond memories of Art. Now, you know, obviously, moving the team all over to Baltimore. But let's talk a little bit about Art and your memories of Art Modell. We'll start with you, Ed.
My memories of Art Modell, unfortunately, are when he moved the Cleveland Browns out of Cleveland. But, you know, he had such much more of an impact than that. But, you know, I was really shocked when, you know, one of the great franchises and one of the longtime franchises in the NFL all of a sudden landed in Baltimore. He obviously has had more of an impact than that. But it's hard to get past that, you know, him moving that team, and I'm sure fans in Cleveland won't ever forgive him for that. But you know, he was a legend in this game, and you know, he gave a lot of people a lot of chances, and you know, he'll be remembered fondly, you know, outside of Cleveland.
It's a shame when you look at situations like Art Modell, especially with someone who has so much good stuff happen, and then you look at the issue with the Browns and that sort of stuff that happened. Jeff, what are your thoughts about Art Modell? Any memories? Any thoughts on the passing of Art Modell?
Sure, real unfortunate how it played out in the final years of his life, as you guys alluded. But I think what I'll remember is he was really one of the founding fathers of the modern NFL and push for the television revenues and negotiations, and was real instrumental in the NFL becoming the TV figure that it is today, where it's just doing blockbuster ratings, and the teams have benefited greatly from the enhanced revenue streams that's allowed. He was at one time a beloved figure in Cleveland, and then after the decision to move, and we could probably spend the next hour or two discussing, you know, what went behind that, but almost ostracized, could really never go back there. I do hear that the Browns are planning some kind of brief moment of silence or memorial before the game tomorrow. I think that's a classy move by them, and certainly he spent his final days in Baltimore. But I think in terms of just one of the great founding fathers of the league, we have to express our appreciation and gratitude for his efforts there.
Well, and you know, certainly our thoughts and prayers go to the family of Art Modell, and in a lot of ways he certainly shaped the game in what we know. Well, we're talking around the league, and we're joined by Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, talking about the Eagles and the Browns. Also joining us from Bear Claws, Mr. Jeff Kurtz. Jeff, we've got a big game, especially us Colts fans, us Bear fans. I don't know if there's any other fans out there this weekend, but there is the Colts and the Bears. Brian Urlacher, let's talk about the Bears a little bit. I tell you what, I think they're actually going to miss the playoffs this season and, you know, maybe go somewhere around, you know, 8-8 or something. I'm not sure, but I don't look for this to be a very good season, especially if Brian Urlacher can't get his act together. But, you know, you look at – we got Andrew Luck, and obviously I'm approaching it from the Colts perspective here.
Sure.
But we've got number 12 ready to go. I think he has a lot to prove, and I think that Julius Peppers can cause a lot of problems for the Colts. Obviously the Bears are a heavy favorite. So let's break down the keys to the game here from the Bears side of the coin. What's the Bears got to do to beat Andrew Luck in his debut of the NFL?
Well, I think they're going to challenge the Indianapolis secondary early and often. They've got a pair of big wideout, big play options in Brandon Marshall and rookie second-round draft choice Alshon Jeffrey. I think that Jay Cutler will go downfield and will look to exploit an Indianapolis secondary that may not be quite up to the challenge. A lot of mix and match moving parts there and some youngsters in the secondary. I think the key from the Bears' standpoint, in order to be able to challenge and go downfield, is they'll need good protection of Cutler, and that's something that has been a concern for the past couple seasons and will be a big key in the game to watch tomorrow. They've got a veteran offensive line, but it's not really an offensive line that's gelling. The left tackle position was up for grabs in the preseason. You had a second-year or third-year man, Jamarcus Webb, who won the left tackle spot almost by default over former first-rounder Chris Williams. Neither played exceptionally well, but Webb was the incumbent. He'll get the start tomorrow and have to match up against a Colts 3-4 defense. It'll be interesting to see the pass rush of both Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis with that revised alignment that they'll use, if the Bears will be able to pick that up. They've struggled some over the past couple seasons against a 3-4 defense, so protection of Cutler, keeping him upright, will allow the Bears to go downfield and challenge that secondary. If they can't do that, if he's on the run, Cutler is good at improvising, making plays on the run, but that's not what the Bears want to do. If they're able to establish that, they'll pound the ball later in the game with Matt Forte and a steady dial of Forte and Michael Bush. That's the key from an offensive standpoint for the Bears, good protection.
Well, I can tell you one thing. When you look at the offensive and defensive line of the Indianapolis Colts, obviously they've switched their defense around under the new leadership of Chuck Pagano, from Baltimore. Obviously got a defensive mind. And I know, Ed, you're very familiar with our new GM, obviously coming from the Eagles. So what you look at is you look at, with the switch around what they've done with Dwight Freeney, which maybe I'm not a big fan of, but bottom line is Marcus Webb has got to figure out a way to stop Dwight Freeney. How does he do that? Hello?
Are you asking me,
Oh, I'm sorry. I was asking you, Jeff. I apologize.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My bad. I forget you guys aren't in studio. I'm just talking with you like you are. I apologize. I would have pointed to you had we been in a round table here. Go ahead, Jeff. I apologize.
I hear you. No problem. That's my bad. I think they're going to chip a lot. I think they're going to give Jamarcus Webb some help with the tight end. I think that has to be part of the game plan. Webb is not a good matchup against quick, athletic defensive ends. He struggles some with his footwork and his hand punch. So they're going to look to give him a lot of help on that side of the ball and on that side of the protection scheme. If they can do that effectively, then that's going to give the Bears both running lanes and also protection for Cutler to be able to survey the field. They don't want to have to do that, but in a matchup, they're going to have to keep a tight end in to help Chuck Freeney.
Well, let's ask the same question to you. Ed, I know you're very familiar with our new general manager who came over from the Philadelphia Eagles. You guys, as an Eagle, as a team, have always focused on the defense. Moving Dwight Freeney around and changing their defensive scheme, was that a smart move by the Indianapolis Colts?
Well, I guess that remains to be seen. They've had a whole off season here to kind of work on that adjustment. But, to me, I've always been of the opinion that if it's not broke, I don't know why you should need to fix it. And, I thought the way Freeney was fine, right where he was coming off the edge like that. And, it remains to be seen if he can change what he's doing. He's been in the league for, his 11th season. And, it'll be interesting to see if he can change. I know here in Philadelphia they're trying to get Michael Vick to become more of a pocket passer. And sometimes with these NFL players who have been in the league a long time, it's very difficult to get them to change what they have been doing over, X amount of years. So, we'll see if that experiment washes or not.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the two key matchups on the Eagles and the Browns yet, and then we'll go over to the Bears and the Colts, Jeff. And we're around the league with Jeff Kurtz of Bear Claws and Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's talk about the running game. What and the offensive side against the Browns, what are the key things that the Philadelphia Eagles have to do to beat the Browns, even though they are a heavy favorite this week?
Well, you know, offensively, I really think they need to be able to pass the ball, and they should be able to do that. It was sort of curious, the final roster decision the Eagles made was they only kept five wide receivers on the team, and one of those receivers, Riley Cooper, is out with a shoulder injury. So they're really going into the game with four healthy wide receivers. So they're going to really need to stay healthy at the wide receiver spot this game to, you know, keep those weapons available. I think a big question for the Eagles is at left tackle, where they're out, or Jason Peters is out with a ruptured Achilles that he suffered back in March working out. You know, he's a perennial Pro Bowl tackle, maybe one of the best tackles in the league. He's not going to be available for the team this season, it looks like. They only put him on the physically unable to perform list, which makes him eligible to come back after week six, but I just don't see how that happens. King Dunlap has been with this team for a number of years. He's going to be the starting left tackle. They brought in a free agent, Demetrius Bell from Buffalo, paid him a lot of money thinking he was the answer, but he has really struggled to pick up offensive line coach Howard Mudd's system. So he will be on the bench, and King Dunlap at left tackle. You know, you wonder how that's going to impact the running game and LeSean McCoy, because he got a lot of his yards last year with Jason Peters blocking for him, especially downfield when a running back hits that next level. Peters was athletic enough to run with McCoy and get downfield and throw some blocks and, you know, make a 5 or 6 yard gain into, you know, 10 and 12 yard gain. So, you know, that's one real key I'll be watching is at that left back. But I think the Eagles should be able to move the ball offensively. And defensively, again, they're going against Brandon Weeden and Trent Richardson, a rookie backfield, and, you know, a couple rookies starting, especially at right tackle. The Browns will start Mitchell Schwartz, I believe, at right tackle, which means Jason Babin at left defensive end, who had 18 sacks last season, didn't play in the preseason because of a calf injury. He practiced all week. We'll see how healthy he is. But, you know, if he's healthy, it could be a long day at right tackle for Mitchell Schwartz versus Jason Babin. And, you know, it could jeopardize Brandon Whedon's health. I hate to say that. But, you know, I think so. There's some of the keys for the Eagles is, you know, the matchup against the right tackle. And then, you know, offensively, they need to be able to throw the ball, get in the rhythm, find the tight end and keep the wide receivers healthy and see what LeSean McCoy can do on the ground with the new left tackle.
And we'll move over to you there, Jeff Kurtz of Bear Claws. The Bears, the Colts, I tell you what, that's just a great matchup in itself, and obviously a past Super Bowl matchup. Not that anybody's still on the team that played there, but I don't know what Brian Urlacher is. But we look at guys like Julius Peppers. What kind of damage is he going to do this week against the Colts?
Well, they're hoping to exploit that. That's one of the keys. I think, if anything, and it's a little unusual, the Bears' defense may be their Achilles heel this year. There are a number of starters over 30 years of age, including Julius Peppers, Brian Urlacher, Charles Tillman, Lance Briggs. So the Bears are getting up there in age a little bit. They will certainly double-team Julius Peppers and try to mitigate his impact. But I have to tell you, I think that Julius Peppers is really underappreciated and maybe undervalued throughout the league and even in Chicago for all the ways that he can impact a game. It's not necessarily always a sack. His numbers aren't great there. They're good, but they're certainly, you know, nothing eye-popping like Jason Babin, my counterpart from Philadelphia, was talking about. But Peppers can impact the game with tipping a pass. He can handle or be out in coverage. He can take so much attention that teams are forced to really go one-on-one against other defenders, allowing them to make the play. I think that a big key will be the pass rush that the Bears will be able to put on Andrew Luck. And I think that they'll probably try to neutralize Peppers the best they can. It will be up to other members of the Bears' defensive front four, namely defensive tackle Henry Melton, who has started to come into his own a little bit. And then opposite the bookend from Peppers, we'll see a steady diet of both veteran Israel Adonijé and also the rookie first-rounder Shane McClellan from Boise State. The Bears really need that push from other members of the line to make it effective. They really That's one of the key components of their defensive strategy, is to get the pass rush from the front four so they don't have to blitz, and that allows the quarterback obviously less time and allows their secondary to be able to provide coverage. So that's a key to watch for. Besides Peppers, will anybody else on the Bears defensive line be able to exert some pressure? If they can't, then I don't care who's playing quarterback, especially Andrew Luck, even if he is a rookie. If he has time, he's going to be able to kind of dink and dunk the ball down the field if need be. And also, the Bears' corners are good. They're not great, and they could be exploited in the secondary as well. They've got some kind of interchangeable parts at safety. It's been an area of concern the past couple years. If everybody's healthy, which is a big if, they're adequate, but it's not a strong point of the team.
Well, we're talking with Jeff Kurtz of Bear Claws and Ed Kratz of Calkins Media. Guys, we got to take a break. We will be back. I want to talk a little bit more about the Colts and the Bears. Obviously, we're moving into our fantasy football segment. Can you guys stick around for that, or do you got to go? Or
I'm good. I can stay.
Yeah. All right. Fantastic. Guys, well, we got to take a break. We get right back, guys. We're going to break down fantasy football huddle. We've been around the league with Jeff Hester of Bear Claws and Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, guys. We'll be right back for the final segment of the Balance of the Day. This week on Speed Talk, we recap our rainy adventure down to the U.S. Nationals in Indianapolis. We talk to Nationwide driver Joanna Long, and we interview NHRA funny car driver Jack Beckman.
And here I am. I got two beautiful children now. I get paid to drive a race car. I get to hang out with you two in the rain. Life's pretty good.
Aw, we're humbled.
Well, you've never been humbled, Pete. Let's be honest.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution. IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Here we go again. The best hits. Best hits.
I demand more.
And the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it. I need it. And I'm going to have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM. RealmsOfMusic.com. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
All right, my minions, welcome back to the final segment of The Balance, the number one sports talk show on Saturday morning right here, Balance Radio Network. You guys have found it, my minions. Share it with all your friends on Facebook, Twitter, and all that good stuff. We'd like to welcome our newest sponsor of The Balance, Sideline Sports Pub in Avon, which is the premier sports pub on the west side of Indianapolis. Myself and the Balance team was out there for opening night against the Giants in the Dallas. Not such a good night for the Giants, but it was opening night, and we were out there, had a great time out there. I tell you what, they're located right there on U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, right across the street from Avon. Very easy to get to. Just go to the Walmart, turn left, and you'll be right there. I mean, they got big screens galore. When I say big screens, I mean wall-size TVs, not like 40-inch plasma hung up on a bracket. We're talking walls around, you know, and I tell you what, they also offer various different types of entertainment. They got a DJ, they got bands, they've got karaoke, they've got it all. But it is the place to watch every Colts game this week, beginning this Sunday. The Bears and the Colts, they've got specials from food to beverages. You want to check them out, guys. And if you want more information, go to www.sidelinesportspub.com. They are located in Avon, Indiana, which is just the west suburbs of Indianapolis. Great time, good friend of the show. They always treat us well there. And I tell you what, I'm going to tell you, you got to try their wings and their tenderloin there. I promise you that you guys will not be sorry. Sideline Sports Pub. And also, it is time, guys, now for the IndyProSports.com Fantasy Football Huddle. Joining me also now is Mr. Brian Sparky Jensen. I mess up his name all the time. Super Colts fan. Obviously, you guys that go to all the Colts fans have met Brian. Sparky is his name when he's in character, if you will. His friend Mike and all the guys that are dressed up. You see them on TV. They're on at every single NFL game. Everybody's got their own design. But, you know, look for Sparky. He wears the Indy Pro Sports and the Balance logos. You cannot miss him. Sparky, how we doing, sir? And by the way, he hates the Bears. He hates the Bears, just so you know that. He posted a blog up on Indy Pro Sports.
I am an avid Bears hater. I would have to say after the Saints pulled all that, you know, BS, you know, I would say that, you know, they took the back seat, but, you know. But, yes, I don't really care for the Bears.
All right. Well, I tell you, we got somebody who's going to talk with you about that. Jeff Kurtz of Bear Claws and Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. Guys, we're going to move right into the fantasy football huddle and around the league and just some different things about fantasy football. And we'll certainly be glad to take your calls, 917-889-8516. We got our panel of experts. We're ready to rock and roll. So let's just start, you know, it's week one. We had our big draft here with the fantasy football out at BW3s. Had a great time there and with the Balance League. I know none of you guys are in the Balance League. I am. Our social media director is the first time she's ever played fantasy football, Michelle. And you know what? She's like, I just want Eli. That's all I want. And, you know, so she got Eli. So her first pick was Eli Manning. I don't know if that was the best choice in the matter, but let's just kind of work our way around the table now. Ed, do you play fantasy football at all, or are you just kind of an onlooker, if you will?
Well, I'm an onlooker, Tom. I have to tell you, I'm just you know, I used to do it years ago, but I'm so busy with what I do with the Eagles day in and day out that it's just hard for me to pay attention. You know, to every team around the league, I just try to focus on Philadelphia and then whoever they're playing, you know, in that coming week. So it's difficult for me, but, you know, when I played, I loved it, you know, and I try to keep an eye on some of the best players around the league.
Well, I tell you what, next to playing real football, it's for all of us guys that are overweight and drink too much beer on Sunday and just have a lot to say. Fantasy football gives us that opportunity to live vicariously through our favorite players. Brian, do you play fantasy?
I really don't have time. I got four businesses, and I pay attention to, you know, what's going on around the league and stuff. You know, I listen to Sirius Radio, NFL, you know, Network, and, you know, check out IndyProSports.com and stuff. But, I mean, it's, you know, I just don't have time. That's another job, really.
Way to mention our anchor sponsor second, but that's okay, Sparky. You know, Indy Pro Sports, and then you listen to Sirius Radio, but that's okay. We're well, you got some learning to do, boy. No, I'm just kidding. Jeff, what about you? You play fantasy?
I'm going to make it a clean sweep across the board. No, and I always tell people I like the personnel evaluation and following the players and the teams around the league pretty closely and heavily, but just don't have time, and always tell people that those aren't my kinds of fantasies.
All right, guys, we're just gonna play buy, sell, trade. We do this every week right here on the Fantasy Football Huddle. And I guess I'm the only one that really plays, so that's okay. I'm the one that makes the list, and all you guys have to do is answer my questions based on your knowledge of set. And I think you've played with us before. All of you guys, I think, have played at some point or another, but we'll just refresh the rules for those that might be a little confused. Buy, in other words, hey, I pick these guys up on my fantasy team, or I'm going to play them or start them this week. Sell means that I wouldn't have anything to do with these guys. I don't know anything about fantasy, but what I know about this guy, I wouldn't do anything with. Or trade it. A buy, sell, or trade, basically means trade. You got him as trade bait, and maybe you'll trade him around. So I tell you what, let's start with some of the easy ones, and we'll start with you, Ed. We'll just work our way around here. Drew Brees of New Orleans, buy, sell, or trade?
I'd buy Drew Brees, absolutely. I know the Saints have had their problems with this whole bounty scandal, but Drew Brees is a great quarterback, and I think he's going to have a great season. I think he's going to throw for a lot of yards and score a lot of touchdowns. Buy him, absolutely.
All right, Jeff, buy, sell, or trade Drew Brees?
I also buy Drew Brees. High-powered offense, a lot of points on the board, and he's the trigger man.
Brian, and you can't, you know, and Brian, by the way, and I want to clue those in, because you come with us for a while now. Last year, he didn't know anything about fantasy football, and, you know, obviously those were the years when we were going to get Andrew Luck, didn't know it. So every single time he said something that he didn't know, he'd just throw out Andrew Luck. So and that was the phrase to pass on to the next one. So, come on, I think you can answer Drew Brees, Brian. Buy, sell, or trade?
I do know how to, you know, the whole thing about fantasy football. I just don't have time to do it. I would get too involved in it. It wouldn't happen for me. It'd become another job. I don't want that. But I would definitely buy him, even though, I mean, I personally hate the Saints, but that high-powered offense, I mean, you know, I'm guessing he'd probably go for another 4,000 yards this year, and, you know, it's just, no one's really going to stop that offense, even if they cheat.
Well, apparently they didn't cheat. Apparently, you know, did you not hear? They didn't cheat. They didn't do that.
Even if they don't cheat, they ain't going to stop them. So.
All right. Well, we'll go to the next one. And I wanted to include this because we're back up in Detroit now. Our friends up at WROM got us back on the air now. So thank you, WROM. Detroit, we've got to throw them in. Matthew Stafford, we'll start with you, Ed, for our friends up in the Detroit market, which are meaner than the people in Philadelphia market. But anyway, no, I'm just
kidding. Well, I don't want to say anything too bad about Matt Stafford then, that's for sure. But, you know, to me, I mean, he had a healthy season last year, his first one, and you hope he can stay healthy. To me, I might look to trade Matthew Stafford, and it depends what you get for him. But, you know, his health to me is always going to be an issue until he can prove that he can put together a couple seasons in a row here healthy. So, to me, I would probably look to trade Matt Stafford.
Jeff, Matthew Stafford.
I hate to agree all the time, but I think I would trade as well. And Stafford's injury history does give one pause for concern. He hasn't been able to stay healthy in his college career or at Detroit. I think that the Lions might take a step back this year, and I think that it's a good time to trade him.
Sparky.
See, all you guys go by scientific facts and, you know, stuff that happens. I just look at reality. I mean, look, their wide receiver, they ain't going to have him this year because he's on the cover of Madden. You know what? Everyone that's on the cover of Madden, what happens. So he ain't going to have no one to throw to. So I would definitely trade him.
You know, Sparky, and along with many of our fans, and we go out to, you know, Sidelines Sports Pub, which is a sponsor there, Sparky, so I make sure I mention them. When we go out there, and they got the big screen TV, we have fun with we had some guy come up to us the other night. He goes, hey, I'm going to buy you guys a drink because I love Sparky. And he wants us to sad sack you, so I'm just saying. You know, if you get Sad Sack, he goes, you always Sad Sack Sparky. Well, you know, Sparky always deserves to be Sad Sack. Well, anyway, how our show was formed, actually, and in all seriousness, was, you know, I worked for ESPN Radio and different things. I thought that there had to be something out there for the fan to talk about. We talk about the same stories, and that's why fantasy football is so popular, and Fantasy Football Huddle is so popular. Our show is based on the fans, so Sparky is really a fan. He doesn't have any media background, and he's just a blue-collar guy that actually – How far you live? What, 4 hours away from Indianapolis? Isn't that right?
Four and a half hours.
Now, guys, check this out. This is a true dedicated fan. He is a season ticket holder and drives 4.5 hours every Saturday for a home game. He's actually closer to the Bears than he is to the Colts, and he lives in Bears territory. What's that?
What was it?
Come on over from the dark side.
There you go. Come over from the dark side. So when Sparky gives his opinion and his thoughts, it really is truly from whatever the fans are thinking at the moment. So no scientific stuff with that. So we move on down the road here. We'll take one more easy one, and then we'll get into some of the more complicated questions. Ed, Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay had a great year last year. Obviously, one of the top fantasy scouts. In my opinion, one of the most solid quarterbacks of all time, Aaron Rodgers, buy, sell, or trade?
Yeah, I'd buy Aaron Rodgers. He took the Packers to a great regular season last year, stumbled in the playoffs, but, you know, it's hard to argue with this guy's numbers that he's put up so far and that I think he'll continue to put up, and he's a young quarterback. I'd hang on to Aaron Rodgers. I'd buy him for sure.
Jeff, Aaron Rodgers,
buy, sell, or trade? I think that's a no-doubter by Aaron Rodgers. His pedigree, what he's been able to do, they've got a nice core of wide receivers, and I think they're going to put a lot of points on the board, so I definitely buy.
All right, Sparky, Aaron Rodgers.
Well, as you guys know, off my second team, I would definitely buy him. And they're going to have a, you know, one heck of a season again, and, you know, that's just a – this offense you cannot stop, and it's just, you know, it just seems like, you know, every year that goes by, it just keeps on getting better and better, and who knows what this year is going to be like.
Well, guys, I want to throw this one little curveball into the mix here that a lot of fantasy players are thinking, especially conservative thinkers like myself. I went ahead and drafted him, and I thought, well, I'm going to play him and see what happens. I can always get rid of him, but I wanted to make sure that I picked him up before anybody else did that might be thinking the same thing. And that's the return of Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is obviously one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play the game, and we can argue about how I'm right and how I'm wrong about that. Even if he is wearing a different number 18, it just looks wrong. It looks very bad, but he is with a different team. But after missing the entire 2011 season with the neck injury that required multiple surgeries, Manning is now in Denver and is ready to show that he hasn't lost a thing. And I tell you what, man, I watched him in several games. I have the NFL ticket. I have all those things. I could see him on every freaking week if I want to. He's looking not quite like what he used to, but he certainly looks like he can play in the NFL again. And to not pick him up, even for a trade bait, I think that's a big mistake. So, in my opinion, you buy Peyton Manning, and we'll start with you, Ed.
I don't think I would buy him. I think it's a big risk. I can see what you're saying about possible trade bait, but in order for that to happen, you hope he gets off to a good start in the first couple games. But, you know, I think going forward with Peyton, it's always going to be an injury risk, especially you don't know how that line, he's playing behind an offensive line that, you know, we'll see how they can protect him and keep him upright because, you know, one hit the wrong way and, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, that could be the end of Peyton's career. And I hope not because I love watching the guy play. But I think that's a big risk and I probably would not have bought him. But, you know, that said, Tom, can I ask Sparky a question? How do Colts fans feel about, I know they're excited for all Andrew Luck coming in and making his debut, but how do Colts fans feel about Peyton Manning, and will they be tuned in Sunday night to watch him against the Steelers?
Brian, are you Sparky? Are you still with us?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Sparky. Go ahead. I had his mic off. Sorry, I sat back intentionally. Go ahead. Go ahead. Did you hear? Did you hear Ed's question?
Yeah. I heard him. I believe it's more or less of you got to move on. You got to think about the future, and you know who knows. You know, with Peyton coming back, to me, he hasn't really looked good in that preseason with Denver at all, and. You know, is it him or is it the wide receivers or, who knows? But, we never really knew, what we would get if he came back anyways. But, with him maybe being about 3 years away from retirement and, everyone usually falls off at the end, was he going to continue strong or was he going to, just fall off or, what was going to happen or could he even play at all? So I think that, they kind of understood, okay, hey, we have, we have the number one pick here. We have a chance to draft the best thing since Peyton Manning. We got to look forward to the next, 10, 15 years. And, I think that's pretty much, that's what Indy fans are living with. And they wish Peyton the best of luck. And now Denver's become a lot of Indy fans' second team. And, life goes on. I do believe that, when he does decide to retire, he will come back and sign a one-day contract with the Colts and, retire as a Colt. But, it's just, life goes on. You got to think about the future. The NFL is a business, and that's what happens in the NFL.
So you're rooting for him. You and Colts fans are rooting for him.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, good.
That's definitely.
He's actually got and I think you texted me this picture. Don't you have a number 18 Bronco jersey?
I took the orange 18 Bronco jersey, the Nike one, and I took a Manning blue one. I took them apart at the seams up the side, and I sewed the orange one to the blue one on the back. So like the front of it is the blue paint Manning or the orange paint Manning, and the back is the blue paint Manning, and the name tag is actually of the. Of the Broncos. The Broncos name tag.
Anytime anybody wants to waste $400, there you go. There's a way to do it.
Yeah.
Those jerseys are about $200 a piece. I know, because I just had to buy a new one because Dallas Clark is no longer with us. So I had to get a new jersey. But we're going to move on, guys, to some of them. And we're running out of time here, so we've got to kind of zip through these. What we also want to do now is I'm going to just – this is my set them. You can say I agree with you or I would start them if I were the owner of this particular player. So we're going to start with quarterback out there in Seattle, Russell Wilson. Wilson may appear to be a great option in some of the larger leagues. And obviously, he's shown his ability in the preseason. But I really caution his start in week one after his regular season. He's big. He's a big mobile quarterback. But maybe he'll have some productive games this season. But how good is Russell Wilson?
I wouldn't start him. I'd take a wait and see on him. If you have him on your team, hopefully you got him late, and I would sit him on the bench and see how he does before you stick him in there. Because I think, like any rookie quarterback, and remember, he was a third-round pick, I would take a wait and see on him.
All right, Jeff.
Yeah, I also agree. I would wait because – I think you find in the regular season for any rookie quarterback, the speed and the intensity of the game ramps up about tenfold. He's going against a pretty athletic defense tomorrow. I think that he'll struggle initially, and he's got a lot of great intangibles, but I don't think this is a spot to play him.
All right, we'll go over to you, Sparky.
Yeah, I think he's also going to struggle. Patrick Peterson back there for the Cardinals. I think he'll get to him. Maybe get a pick or so on him, and that Cardinals defense is decent defense, and I think he's going to be decent, but I don't think it's going to do really too hot tomorrow.
All right, the other guy I've got that I think that you should set at least this week, and I know, Ed, you've been involved in some of the conference calls this week in preparation for this game, but Trent Richardson, obviously they say he's going to play back in week one. He's ready for week one. He had some rehab and some knee scope going on, and I know that Coach Schmer has obviously indicated that Richardson will get full game reps if he does return in week one. I'm just wondering if we'll see in week one action while Richardson continues to heal. So I worry about playing Trent Richardson this week. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he's only had a week to get ready for the game. He sat out a lot of the, you know, preseason, obviously. I think he's a risk, too. But I think the Browns are going to try to run the ball, whether that's with, you know, with Trent or Hardesty remains to be seen. But if Richardson's healthy and he was part of the game planning for the week, I think they're going to run him because they're going to need to take some pressure off of Whedon. So, you know what, I might take a flyer and start him if I had him.
All right, Jeff, Trent Richardson.
I sit him because of his limited work. He's missed most of the preseason. I'm sure he'll be on the field. I know they want to get him some action. I just see it being limited reps, and I don't think he would be a good value.
All right, now I'm going to kind of go, obviously, if you've not picked up, we're buy, sell, trade, start, and set them, and that's kind of how we flow through the fantasy football hole. I'm going to start with you on this one, Jeff, because this is in your backyard, and a good Indiana boy as well. But Jay Cutler, I started this year. I don't know how far people may have drafted him this year, but he's an aggressive passer, and we know in fantasy football, that's where you score points. Start Jay Cutler this year. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree. I think that's a wise move. I think the Bears are going to have an explosive offense and put a lot of points on the board. He's got a lot of good offensive weapons at the wide receiver position. I start him as well. I think he'll have a big season.
And we'll go over to you, Ed.
I agree. I think I would start Jay Cutler for sure. You know, he's got some mobility to him and ability to extend plays. And, you know, he has a new weapon there with the rookie pick out of South Carolina. His name's escaping me at the moment, but Ashlon Jeffrey. I think I would start Cutler for sure. I like Jay Cutler, always have.
All right, Sparky, I hate to ask you this, but start Jay Cutler or not?
I would sit him because the Bears only have one weapon at wide receiver, and that's Brandon Marshall. And if he doesn't hit him, he's going to go over there, you know, to the sideline, do his pissy, pouty little tantrum and not want to play. So I'd sit him.
All right, guys, we got just a couple more minutes here, and we're real quickly going to go through this. We'll start with you, Ed. Start Justin Blackmon of Jacksonville, yes or no?
Yeah, I would start him. How many weapons does Jacksonville have? He's one of them. I would start him.
Jeff?
No, I just don't like him from an inconsistency standpoint, immaturity. I think that Jags are going to struggle, and he's going to be one of the reasons they do.
Well, he's going to be a good, strong rookie. I'm going to say go ahead and start him. Sparky, yes or no? Start him or set him?
I'd start him.
All right. Well, next, obviously, Nate Washington of Tennessee. We know the Titans will need to throw and throw often to keep up in week one against Tom Brady. I think this is an obvious one, but we'll go with you, Ed. Start or set Nate Washington with Tennessee?
Yeah, start him. Hopefully, Jake Locker can get him the ball.
All right, Jeff.
Yeah, I start him as well, and that's my same concern, whether Jake Locker will be accurate enough to be able to connect with him.
All right, Brian.
I'd say start him. Jake Locker is going to be, you know, a really good quarterback. I believe, you know, he's going to have a good season, and, you know, he's going to prove himself this year. So I'd start him.
All right, guys. Well, that takes us to the two-minute warning. So we're going to start with you, Ed. Tell us where people can find your work, your masterpieces, and who wins, the Eagles or the Browns. Go.
Well, Eagles win 31-13. Find me at Kratzke, K-R-A-C-Z-E, on Twitter. www.phillyburbs.com/Eagles is where you can find my work. I post a lot of it to Twitter, though. So, again, it's K-R-A-C-Z-E is my Twitter handle. Thank you.
Jeff, go.
Bears 37, Indianapolis 13. Bears have an explosive offense. They'll prove it in the season opener. You can find my stuff online, Bears Claws. That's Bears, plural, Claws.com. Also on Facebook and Twitter. Enjoyed being with you guys today.
Absolutely. All right, Sparky, go.
Bears 20, Colts 24. You can find me on Facebook. Brian Jensen, Sparky, super Colts fan. And also check out my blogs on IndyProSports.com.
Absolutely, guys. Well, that's going to do it for the IndyProSports.com fantasy football huddle. It's also going to wrap things up here at the Balance, guys. Make sure you get out there to the Big Go. Lucas Oil Raceway. They're going to redo it again. Mack Tools U.S. National. Obviously, the BMW Championships, Tiger Woods and stuff are in town as well. So if you're going to get out there, they've moved the tee off to 2 o'clock, hopefully trying to get some of this stuff dried out. Unfortunately, like a racetrack, golf courses just do not dry out. So keep check that out, BMW USA Championships.com. Guys, well, that's going to do it for us. We'll catch you next week. The Colts beat the Bears. The Eagles beat the Browns. Join us next week, and who knows what's going to happen here on The Balance. And make sure you go out to Sideline Sports Pub and Avon to watch the Colts game, guys. We'll see you next week. Remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a bitch, didn't you?
That's all, folks.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.